Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Yud Gimel. And we're going to start at the three lines up on the bottom of Yud Beis, Omud Beis. We're at the two dots. So what we said in the Mishnah was, Be'emet Amru HaChazan Ro'eh Hechan HaTinokot Korim. So the Chazan can see where the kids are reading, but he can't read with them. So didn't you just say that he could see? Doesn't seeing mean that? I mean, what's he seeing? What's the point of seeing? I mean, obviously he's only seeing because seeing the letters is reading the letters. I don't understand what that means. He can see, but he can't read. No. There's a difference, you see. One is when we said he can look, that's l'sadero sheparshiotav. Something that you know well, you are allowed to look at to catch a few words of it to remind you of the rest. And this way he'll know where the beginning of the parsha is. And that way he will go over the whole thing in his mind, because anyway, he really knows it. But he can't actually read B'daikanut. V'cheino amar Rabba bar Shmuel, he is allowed to be Mesada Roshei HaParshiotav. What do you mean? But it says here the whole parsha, no? Because, I mean, the kids are reading the whole parsha. Now, right now, we don't know there's a difference, even though we spoke out before. We don't know there's a difference between the kids and him. And since it says over here that the kids are actually able to be Mesader the Parsha and Korim La'or Aner, it's Mashmah that they're reading the Parsha. Well, maybe not. Maybe Mesadrim just means that we're giving them also the Aliyahs that they should know what to be working on in the morning, Rosh HaParshiotav. Or it could be very different because Tinokot, they're scared. They're not used to doing things on their own, to stick out their hand and to make changes. And they won't do a darn thing if the Rebbe's around, you know. Because all the Eimat Rabbana Layam, they're not going to bend the Ner. And I mentioned to you the Yerushalmi that says that the better reason is that they're going to hope that the candle goes out so they can run out and play. Why in the world would he try to fix the candle? Okay. Kayot Sebo. Then we add at the end of the Mishnah, Lo Yochal Hazav Im Hazava, which is strange. I mean, why are we talking about a Zav shouldn't eat with a Zav? I mean, just say a guy shouldn't eat with his wife who's a Nida, you know? I mean, what are we talking about? How often does Zav and a Zav get together? Says Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, you look at this Mishnah and you understand something that nobody is saying openly, but is so powerful because of the fact that it's so taken for granted. It's impossible to conceive of writing a Mishnah that a person who's Tohar shouldn't eat with his wife, who's a Nida, because that would be insane. Everybody was makbet to eat betaira. So how could they even dream of such a thing? They wouldn't go around a place where someone could be metame the food. That's how much borei adechon partzat ta'aram b'Yisrael. It was taken for granted. And of course, that's ridiculous. Because it doesn't say lo yochal ha'tahor im ha'tameyad. The only case we could come up with to illustrate this gezeira is lo yochal ha'zav im ha'zavah mipnei hergel avera, which is amazing. Now we have other cases similar to this, where if you have a Zav, who is generally, he's a Porush, and obviously he can't. Porush means that he would be eating Betairah, and he would be careful on his mice, because he can't now eat Betairah because he's a Zav. And you would think, okay, so he's allowed to eat with a Zav Amaretz, because anyway, he's Tame. No, because he may get used to eating with him. So, what's the big deal? No, because maybe the Amaretz will feed him things that are Tame. What are you talking about? He's a Zav, for heaven's sakes. He's eating Dvarim Tumeim, so Lav Dvarim Tumeim Ochel. Says Abaye, what we mean is he may give him things that are not kosher in the sense that they weren't taken off Meiser, and therefore we don't want him to get used to it. Says the Gemara, why would that be? Amar Abaye, the Gezer Shem Yachalena Dvarim She'enam Etukanim, says Rava, that doesn't make sense, because Rova Neha Aretz Basrine. So the whole din of demai is this tremendous gzeira. Then we have the rove that certainly are. We're not going to make a gzeira not to eat with him when there's no problem, because maybe he'll make a problem. It's absurd. The issue is we don't want him to get used to relying on eating with an amaretz, and then he may actually give him things that are really tameim when he wants to be makbid on tahara. Fine. Iboilu. What would be the din, if we're talking about a Zovim HaZava, can a Nida sleep with her husband in the same bed if she is wearing her pajamas and he is wearing his pajamas? So there's two issues over here that we have to take into consideration. One issue is the fact that things are being done differently, and that's called a shinui. Generally speaking, people who are lovers do not sleep in their clothes. They sleep without clothes. And therefore, the very fact that they're wearing clothes is itself a shinui, which reminds them not to sleep together. And then we also have the fact that there are two people involved, which is not the same as a person who might come to do an avera. If there's two people that are involved, one can remind the other that we're not allowed to do this. So the question over here is, can you sleep with a nida as long as there's a shinui? Amar Rav Yosef, well, how about the famous mishnah that we had, that you're allowed to bring up chicken and cheese on the same table, but you're not allowed to eat it together. So it says Beit Shammai, whereas Beit Hillel says, no, you're not even allowed to put it on the table. So if you're not allowed to put it on the table, then apparently they hold that it's all one gezerah. So because, I mean, so remember we had the whole Sirgin Chulin, some learn that maybe you put it up hot and maybe it would touch each other. Some learn it's Kula Chod Gezerah, who, even if it's only the Rabban and the Oaf and so on. But the bottom line is, if you're not allowed to put a Oaf Imagvina on the same table, so then certainly two people are not allowed to actually have intercourse should not be sharing the same bed, right? Now, obviously, this is a very poor raya for two reasons. It does not address either of the issues that we took into consideration. We're not talking about two different people, and we're not talking about making any kind of hecker. And if there's no shinui, it has nothing to do with our case. But remember that this is the Gemara's methodology for bringing out the elements that are included in the initial question. And so, Mamela, we first bring this braita, and then we show, what does this have to do with anything? I mean, first of all, without even getting into the problem of shinui, you don't have deot. Deot means that there are no separate intelligences that are involved over here. But maybe if there's two people, the male and the female, they'll remind each other we're not allowed to have intercourse. And as a matter of fact, it's very reasonable to say that it's different if ika deot, because the very mishnah that we just brought as a raya continues to say that Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said that in a case we have two people who come to a hotel, they can sit down at the same table and one of them can be eating meat and one of them can be eating milk and there's no problem. So, basar, get on, oh, feeling meat? Ain't choshishin, because I mean, like, how am I going to come to take the other guy's food? Yeah, but it says, remember that Rav Chanan bar Ami or Amar Shmuel explained that mishnah from Shmuel, that that's dafka if they're not friends from before, they don't know each other. But if they would know each other, it would be usher, even though there are deot, and usually a man and his wife know each other, at least a little bit. So therefore, if they're in the same bed, they will remind each other, no, because over here we see once you know each other, we don't rely on deot. So over here, these people, the male and the female here, I mean, they're married, so they must know each other. Yeah, but it's still not nogeya, because over there, and here's where we get to the other element, of course, which is shinui. So the case over there is where there may be deot, so they're eating on the same table, but there's nothing that's weird about eating at the same table. But there is something weird about wearing your clothes when you're in bed with somebody that you're going to sleep with. So therefore, that reminds you that, well, I have no intention of sleeping with this person. And then what are you going to do? Start taking off your clothes? That is going to remind you that you're not meant to be together. Now, some have the whole thing that we just said in a much more compressed fashion, and according to them, we immediately brought the raya from Rav Gamliel. So, ikedi amri tashma. We brought the raya from the part of the mishnah that says, "Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, Mishnah Sanayim Ochlan Ashulchan Echad Zibasav Zegvina." We took into consideration deot right up front, and we said that Omer Rav Chanan bar Ami Amar Shmuel Hashem Hashem Makirin Zebze Avu Makirin Zedze Aser. And the raya was initially that Ani Nami Makirin Zebze. And we were deichet just from the end, that over there may be deot, but there's no shinui on the table, which, by the way, if you do make a shinui on the table, let's say you put a separate tablecloth for the person who's reading milk or fleshings, then that does help. So over there you have deot, ikar shinui lecha, and hacha, in the case of the married man and wife, you have both deot, but you also have a shinui. Okay, let's see if we can bring a proof from our Mishnah. This obviously was the reason we were getting to this in the first place. Lo yochal azavim azavah mipnei hergel aveira. We're afraid they're going to end up the family that eats together, sleeps together. No, because over there, maybe it's only us, sir, because although there are two people, you're not doing anything differently, so there is no Shinui. And Shinui Leka. Okay, Tashma. Okay, how about this? In Yechezkel, you have this description of what does a kosher person look like, a tzaddik look like? El ha'arim lo achal. He does not eat to the mountains. What are the mountains? Horim, the avot. That means he doesn't eat b'schus avos. He eats because he's zeicher to Yadai Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. Ve'einav lo nasa el gilulei b'nei Yisrael. He never looks at the all types of idol worshippers that everybody else is worshiping, which of course includes the Rambam's idol worship of all of the deis that people believe in that is pure nonsense. He doesn't pay any attention to the superstitions and to the idiocies. But Eshed Re Ehu Lotime, he didn't sleep with his neighbor's wife, Elisha Nida Lo Yikrav. I mean, like, what? Ah, the point over here is that it's comparing an Isha Nida of his own to his neighbor's wife. Now, would you think that you're allowed to sleep with your neighbor's wife as long as you're both wearing your pajamas? Come on in, honey. There's nothing we could do wrong. After all, we're wearing pajamas. You wouldn't think that, right? Now, why wouldn't you think that? That's a question, by the way. Why wouldn't you think that? So Tosus learns you wouldn't think that because it's obviously going to lead to a bad place. But Rashi wants to say that you wouldn't think that because the din of Yichud alone would usher sleeping with, being even alone with a woman that is usher to because of Eshes Ish. And that, we learn out, is D'oraisa, according to Rashi, from the Pasuk, in a case of an Eshes Re'ehu. So since it compares, which sounds like an absurd comparison, Elisha Nida, Lo Karav, it's comparing the two, that the same way that you for sure would not sleep, so too you would be careful, Afishto Nida, would be also Ubibigdovi Bibigda. So you see from here, you cannot sleep together with a Nida, even if they both were wearing their pajamas. So please the Rebbe Bidat. This, however, ossering sleeping with a Nida like that, disagrees here with the sheet of Rebbe Das, because Rebbe Das says the meaning of legalot erva is not as people think. Legalot erva does not mean to uncover nakedness. Uncover nakedness is a euphemism for having actual sexual relations. And therefore, lo asra torah lekurva shel gilui arayot bevad, all of this stuff of not getting close to an erva is not true, because it says, ish ish okosh er besaro lo tikrevu, which you think means don't even get close, doesn't mean don't even get close. It means don't even get close to the galot erva, which means you're already on the way to intercourse. That's the point. So since the diraisa is only actual intercourse, any other connection would only be also midrabbanan. So since we're only dealing with the drabbanan, so if there's clothes on and there's deyos, so we would not be makpid. As a matter of fact, this issue is very much a function of the way an individual would relate to it. Because Ula, when he would come back from the Beis HaMedrash, he would kiss his sisters right on their nipples. And some say, well, no, it wasn't on their nipples, it was on their hands. So, but that seems to be a contradiction, even in Ula's own shita, because Ula said that he disagrees with Rebbe Bedad, possibly. Others say it's not disagreeing, he's just saying that he holds midrabbanan. And he held any type of close connection is usher. Because look, when you've got a nazir who's not supposed to be drinking wine, so when he gets close to the vineyard, he's not allowed even to pick a grape and eat it, right? So you say, hey, Mr. Nazir, lech, lech, get out of here, Amri Nazira. Schar, schar, yeah, go around, go, but it's 3 blocks. I don't care, go around. Lechar malotikrav, don't get close to the vineyard itself. So over here, remember that we compared in Nida, in many cases we compared a woman to a vineyard, right? The whole idea of the different stages of development, we compared to different stages of grapes and so on. So this is, and of course, Aroya Sota Bekilkula, Yazirat Swamin Ayayin, this is a very broad metaphor over here. Tanad of Elio, there was once a Maisa that Elio Novi taught that Maisa Betamidachad. It was this big Talmud Chacham. He learned a lot, and he was Korar Beinu Chumash, Inu Mishnei, Latanze Gemara, Shimesh Talmidei Chachamim Arbe, and he died when he was very young, B'chatzi Yama. and his wife was very bitter, and she took his tefillin, and she would run around, running around to all the different shuls in town and all the different batei midrashim, and she would say to them, "No, look how evil this whole thing is. It says in the Torah, 'Yuchayecha v'erech yamecha,' and there we were meiser nefesh, and my husband, he learned so much Mishnah, and he learned so much Mikra, and he learned so much Gemara. He was b'shamish tamidei chachamim, and he died so young. How do you explain that, huh? How do you explain that?" Nobody ever answered her. They just, well, what can you do? You know, we don't know the ways of God and whatever. So Eliyahu HaNavi says, well, you know, this is getting on my nerves. So I once went, "Bamachat nitarachti etzla." So she starts with her whole jazz, right? So I said to her, "Tell me, my daughter, I mean, while you were in Nida, how did he treat you?" "Oh," she said, "you have no idea how makbid he was. Chas v'sholom, afilu be'etzba ketana lo nagabi. He wouldn't touch me, even my little finger." And what about during the days of your libun, when you were keeping Shivas Nekiyim? Now this would be according to Tosfos, when you were keeping the chumrah of Shivas Nekiyim, that Benos Yisroel were Rechmiru al Atzman, that everybody kept Shivas Nekiyim. So how did he treat you during that period? He ate together with me, and he would drink together with me, and he would sleep together with me, even without clothing. But I mean, he would never even think about the real thing, you know. Lo alta dato davar acher. So you know what I said to her, said Elio? I said, "Well, thank God who murdered him. Baruch hamokom sharago shelo nasa panim latorah." Because, I mean, some learn this means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is the way I believe it is, but many of the Rishonim say not like that, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't even take into consideration how great your husband was in Torah, because he did something wrong. Sharei amra Torah li shabini datu mata lo tikrav, and he did. Now, all the Rishonim asked, when was this guy an idiot? I mean, what would he possibly think is the difference between Yemei Libun and Yemei Nida? There's no difference. Because if she didn't go to the mikvah, so then it's be made to mata. So, and as Tosfos understands it, I mean, the only reason that Elio asked her the question, "How did he treat you?" would be because he knew that the guy had treated her differently, but not because there's any basis for such a thing. However, many Rishonim, including Matan Tam, also bring that no. And in those days, they had a minhag that actually they used to go to the mikveh twice. So after they kept the 7 days of nidas from the time of the first re'iyah, and then midiraisa, she was muteres, she went to the mikveh. Because that way, it's tefillah b'zman mitzvah, and this is the time to go to the mikveh. Then they kept the extra Shiva Sikhim with Benos Yisroel with Chmira Al Atzman, Midrabana, and then they went to the mikveh again. So he thought, okay, I mean, forgot this whole thing is this unbelievably insane chumra that Benos Yisroel with Chmira Al Atzman, she's completely muteret. So I understand that Chas V'Sholom, I'm not going to be over on the takana that they were mekabel on themselves, but all of these harchokas, not to eat with her, not to sleep with her in the same bed, I mean, that's already crazy. You know, I'm not going to be machmir. Therefore, he was mako, and he had a good reason to be mako, but he was wrong. And since she was going around making this big fuss, being b'chal shem shemayim, so he wanted to put her in her place. Other pshatim says the Gemara is that kiyas Rav Dimi said the point over here was that it was in one bed. They never got near each other. It was a wide bed, and he slept on one side, and she slept on the other side. B'marova amre. Om Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Sinar Mafsik Beino Leveina. It wasn't that it was Bekir of Basar, it was that they had a sheet, or Sinar is like an apron that a woman wears from her waist down. So they had that, it's basically like a chastity belt between them, and there was no chance that he would come to sleep with her. And the obvious Akasha that Tosfos asks is the wonderful story of Palti Ben Laish, who was forced to take what apparently is an Ashes Ish, right, who is actually married to David, and he's sleeping with her all of these years in the same bed, except that he took a knife and he put it in the middle of the bed. Anybody who goes over to the other side of the knife gets cut off. which is awfully dangerous, especially to males. So because of that, what was the heter over there? So Tosfos says that, look, it could be that maybe it was like a 10-foot bet. So there was, for all intents and purposes, it wasn't connected. Or it could be that actually he held that Lahalacha Shaul was right, that there was no real kedushin to David. And he was being machmer on himself to treat her as if she were an Eishes Ish. But had she actually been an Eishes Ish, he wouldn't even have done that. He would have just slept on the floor. Now, we are about to embark on something that is considered to be one of the most chomer sugyas, which, of course, as I've said many times, are usually the easiest sugyas. And this is the sugya of the Yud Ches Dovah, which has many, many of the issues of Tumah V'Taira in within it, which we already saw has in and of itself a lot to do with the Inyanim of Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaRabim of Shabbos. As we'll see, many of the halakas are Nogea Shabbos, but this depends how it is that we define the concepts of the following Mishnah, which I'll explain to you according to the Rambam, who has the most brilliant understanding of this, very different than the other Rishonim. And what's more, we will, after we begin and see where we're heading, according to the Rambam, the entire Perek is essentially part of this Mishnah. And that's what's so wonderful about it. So the Mishnah says like this: Ve'elo min ha'alachot shamru ba'aliyat Hananya ben Chizkiya ben Garon. And these were some of the halachot that were said in the famous Aliyah of Chizkiya ben Hananya. And that was a very, very special Aliyah, because, as we'll see later on, that was the individual who figured out how Sefer Yecheskel could be saved, because it seemed to run against the Din Medetera, and he explained the entire thing. Now, he was working there for a very long time, never got out, he was in quarantine until he would be able to figure out Sefer Yecheskel, but many of the Gedolei Hadar came to visit him. And one time, a great number of the Gedolim, who were both sides of the fence, Talmidim of Shammai and Talmidim of Hillel, they all came up there to discuss a lot of different halachas, and they took a vote, Nimnu, and it was a disaster, because Rabu Beit Shammai al Beit Hillel. What happened over here is there were more Talmidim Beit Shammai, they outnumbered Beit Hillel, and they managed to pass all kinds of dinim that otherwise they wouldn't have been able to pass, very much what Gantz is trying to do now in the Knesset and so on, which causes a disaster. You know, so you've got to make sure you got the people from your party in the right place. And on that day, Shmona Asar Dvarim Gazru Bo Bayom. So there were 18 takonas that they made on that day. Now, how do we read the Mishnah? Honor Leah Baila Rav Yosef. Are we reading in the Mishnah, Elu Mina Halachot Shamru Baliat Hananya? Or are we reading ve'elu min ha'alachot? There's two different ways of understanding the Mishnah. We can understand the Mishnah ve'elu. Listen, guys, now that you are stuck at home and you can't go to school, it's about time for you to sit down and listen to the Daf Yomi from the beginning. Az ani choshev she'aba yachin lachem et hakol v'atem teshvu v'te'enu. So now, if we read the Mishnah as ve'elu, so then it would mean, if it says ve'elo, it would include the previous two halachas that we said before, because that would mean hani damran, the ones that were in the previous Mishnah, right? So we started the ein korin la'oraner with the ein polina and ein korin la'oraner. So that would mean that two out of the 18 things would be the two things that we just read. Or are we supposed to read that as elutnan, the following things, which would mean only the things that follow are from the 18 things, and the things that we had before are not from the 18 things? That's the way that we would have to read the Mishnah. So now it says the Gemara, well, let's take a look at the Braita. If you look at the Braita, you will see 100% how to read it, because it says, Toshma, ein polin lo oraner, ve'ein korin lo oraner, ve'elo min halachot shamru baliyat Hananya ben Chizkiya ben Garon. So you see from there, and that's all. It doesn't say anything else. It can't be referring to the following. There is no following in the Braita. And that means that the only way to understand it is that we were learning ve'elo, these things that we just mentioned of Inkorin Loraner, they were part of the Yud Ches Dvorin. Now, this is very strange, because what in the world is this entire sugya, and the rest of the parak is going to be discussing all types of different machlokasim between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, which in fact did it. Most of them do have to do with the Inyonim of Shabbos. But what in the world is this story of the Yud Ches Tavar and the going to the vote and so on, and this was a disastrous day when they outnumbered Beit Hillel. What does this all have to do with the Masechet over here? And let me tell you something else. The main sugya of Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, and the entire story of why the halacha is always like Beit Hillel against, all of that appears in Masechet Erevin, which is also a question. Why in the world would Masechet Erevin be the place for this discussion? So the question is whether the pshat that we just gave in the Mishnah, which is Rashi's pshat, is actually the pshat that we should be saying. Because if we take a look at the Rambam, here's how the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos understands the Mishnah. The Gemara later on is going to tell us that there were 18 things that were gezerot that we did. There were 18 things that they were arguing about, but that in the end, hushvu, they didn't have to go to a vote, and they agreed on them. And there were a further 18 things that there was a machlokas, and the machlokas remained in effect, and they did not go to the vote. So therefore, the Rambam learns like this. The 18 things of the gezeras have nothing to do with what we just said about elu or ve'elu. There were 18 things, according to the Rambam, that our perek has presented from the opening words of Yitziyot HaShabbos Shnayim Shein Arba. Unbelievable. He learns that the entire perek was part of the discussion between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. And the first 18 things in the entire Masechet, which is the opening Mishnah, has already 8 halachas. Because remember, we had a total of the 8 Chiyuvim just for Hanukkah, just for Otzah, 1 Bifnim, 1 Bachutz, which gave us a total of 8 special Dinim Midrabanan on Shabbos. Those refer to the first 8 of the 18, not of the 18 Gezeras, but rather of the 18 things which they were Chaylek on and in the end Hushvu without going for a vote. Then we had, in the next Mishnah, we had 5 different gezeras. Lo yoshev lifnei ha-sapar, lo yikanes l'merchatz, lo yikanes l'burski, lo yatir le'chol, and he shouldn't go into a din, that's another 5. And then in the next Mishnah we had lo yetzei achayat, lo halavlar, lo yifalei kelav, lo yikrav oraner, and lo yochal azavim azavah. Those are exactly 18 things, all mentioned in the perek from the beginning. Then this Mishnah introduces Ushmonasre Davar Gazru Bo Bayom, is another 18 things which are the Gezeras that in fact Beit Hillel was outnumbered on. And then there are a further 18 cases that the Rambam lists in the rest of the parak, where it's Beit Shammai says X and Beit Hillel says Y. And in reality, the Rambam lists them all, which not all of them are expressed over here, because we have only 13 that come in the next Mishnayos till the end, but then the Gemara brings another 5 that are mentioned in the Braita, which also have to do with the Inyonim of Shabbos. Those were the 18 that they were Emed Adayin B'machloket. So it turns out that this is all up in Gemaras. It's absolutely brilliant. And he says, what, but the Gemara's not stump saying there were 18 things that they were hushvu and would never told us what they are? That's ridiculous. So basically, our perek is the first 18 things shehushvu, then a remes to the 18 dvorim that they were gosru, which the Gemara is now going to go through all 18. According to Rashi, we'll have to understand that those 18 incorporate, actually, the 2 dinim of lo yikre lo araner and lo yifale kelav lo araner. And so he has to learn that some of the 18 cases that the Rambam lists separately are actually to be seen as combined in one because they're similar to each other. And then we have the rest of the perek, which would mean that according to the Rambam's approach, the entire perek has to do with this story of this aliyah and the machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, which is continued essentially in Erevin with the question of the baskel, whether halacha is always like Beit Hillel, and so on and so forth. Why? So it seems to me that it is not coincidental that the entire perek is predicated on that machlokas, because the entire story ends up in Erevin being based on one fundamental machlokas, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. And it was a machlokas that went on for 2.5 years straight, says the Gemara, each side bringing rias to the debate, and it was inyanim mostly of Sisrei Torah. And the machlokas was, incredibly, is it Noach for a human being to have been created, or is it more Noach for him never have been created in the first place? That is fundamental to the way in which we keep Shabbos. So in other words, the relationship to the menucha of Maaseh Bereishis and what Maaseh Bereishis means to us, and how we celebrate the Maaseh Bereishis and how we relate to the menucha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Maaseh Bereishis, are completely defined by how we see our own existence in the context of that act of Reishis. And it goes back over there, Bechalal, to the main idea which opens up the entire Mesilas Yesharim, that Akshav Shanivra, is it Yefashvesh for myself, and so on and so forth. How exactly are we meant to proceed? And therefore, this is the beginning of Masechet Shabbat, is the way in which those differences are expressed in terms of the Gezeiros of Shabbos and our relationship to it, our enthusiasm for Gezeirot. And as we're going to see, Hananya ben Chizkia was the one who wrote Megillat Ta'anit out of the enthusiasm for keeping track of all of the awful things that have happened to us and all of the incredible miracles that delivered us from it. So he was called a Mechavvim et Hatzarot. So Tana Rabbana, and that's why we bring this in here. Mi katav Megillat Ta'anit? Why is Megillat Ta'anit called a Megillah? Because it was written long before there was anybody who thought of a heter of writing down Torah Shebaal Peh. And you were not allowed to write dinim down anywhere except this Megillat Ta'anit, which is why it's called a Megillah, because it was as if it was Torah Shebiksav. And he felt that since we need to recognize every one of the immense miracles that were done for Klal Yisrael and to make it a holiday, at least a semi-holiday, and a semi-holiday includes the not saying either, it depends how much it was, either not to have a tainus on that day, or other inyanim, fine, which we'll get to in Megillas Tainus, we'll discuss it later. But it was Bedavka, of all things, Hananya ben Chizkia, that created this, and was Matya writing it down, because Yumechavavim et Hatzarot, they loved the troubles that came to them, because they recognized, first of all, that there were Sameach B'Yisurin, and that each one of these troubles would lead to immense new understanding. And in the end, when they got the nace that took away the tzara, they made it a holiday. But that's because they appreciated that that was the whole point. Says Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, listen, man, don't put us down. I mean, it's not like we don't appreciate the tzaras. We also do. And this is so many years later, because he was, Rabbi Gamliel over here, Shimon Gamliel was after the Churban, Rabbi Hananya was a century before the Churban. I mean, there's many generations between the two. And nonetheless, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, that's not the way to look at it. We also appreciate our tzaras, you know, but what are we supposed to do? If we started writing down all of our tzaras, it would be impossible. So Rashi says maybe it would be impossible, because then every single day of the year would be a holiday, and it would be usher to say Hespedim, or it would be usher to have a tainus, and so on. So because of that, we can't do it. Or Einanu Maspikim, because it just, we're overwhelmed. Another reason that we don't write it down is because we are basically idiots. And an idiot cannot really even realize when he's under attack. So what he does is instead, and this is the most common thing that we live with, We live with insane people all the time who actually believe that the life that they're leading is normal. Yeah, well, isn't the world supposed to be like this? And then they're totally shocked when the whole thing falls apart. And then they could suddenly look back months later and say, oh my God, that was insane. How did we live like that for so many years? So an idiot doesn't even realize when things are bad. Or another way of putting it is, forget about being an idiot, we're dead. So if you're dead, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to cut a dead body with a scalpel, right? So what's the dead guy going to do? Shout, scream, we're all dead. So somebody who's dead doesn't feel when he's being cut. Is that so? Doesn't he? Vom Rav Yitzchak Kosher Rima Lameh Kemachad B'Bsar Achai She'emar Ach B'Saro Alav Yichav V'Nafsho Alav Te'aval. It says here that even the dead mourn over their own pain, and his basar will be pained. Alav Yichav. No, it doesn't mean we're dead. It means we're like basar hamet. Shebechad is not margish b'ismo. So if you have dead skin on your body, so then you won't feel anything that cuts that skin. Om Rav Yonah Marab. You know, now that you mention, Zachur Oto Ha'ish L'Tov, we should remember that man, Hananiah ben Chizkiah Shema. If it wouldn't have been for that man, we wouldn't even have a Sefer Yecheskel anymore, because Yecheskel keeps contradicting the Torah. I mean, he says the stupidest things. I don't know, where did he get it from? That there was a din that a Kohen is not allowed to eat an Avela of a Treifa? What do you mean Kohen is not allowed to eat? Nobody's allowed to eat. And he makes up these carbonas. You're supposed to bring a carbon on a par on the seventh day of Nisan. I mean, whoever came up with that? Craziness. And everything he wrote was source of the great terror. So what did Hananiah ben Chizkiah do? They brought him up 300 barrels. Remember the Gemara Senechul, and the 300 is the code word for this is an exaggeration. They brought him up 300 barrels of oil for energy, both energy for lighting and energy for himself. V'yashav ba'aliyah, he sat up there in his upper story, and he was derish every single shot, and he explained it. And there were 18 things, which we will learn tomorrow, what those 18 things were, that he was ghost, or at least we'll start.